ulele, uale, ule, ulelei. Uale, ulele, uale, ule, ulelei.
Welcome to the Wild Mother Podcast for women who want to birth, mother, and live with pleasure, purpose, and power. The wisdom of Mother Nature is our guide as we dive deep into the subjects of physiologic birth, natural parenting, and conscious mothering. Join me, Dr. Jessica Hodgins, for evidence-based and soul-centered conversation with guest experts and real mamas just like you. Let's go. Welcome to episode 2 of the Wild Mother Podcast. I am so excited for the episode today because we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects in the world ever, and that is physiologic birth. If you've ever wondered what physiologic birth is and how it's different from other terms like natural birth or vaginal birth, if you've ever wondered why you might want to have a physiologic birth, and how you can maximize your chances of having a safe physiologic birth without unnecessary interventions, then you are in exactly the right place, because that is what we're going to be diving deep into in the podcast today. My hope also is that this podcast episode will be a resource down the track for anyone who finds themselves in the position that I definitely found myself in as a pregnant woman, and I know so many other pregnant mamas who've been in this position where they've understood exactly what physiologic birth is and they know why they want one, and they're trying to set up the circumstances to allow themselves to have a physiologic birth, but they've found family or friends around them are resistant to the idea because there's so much misinformation about birth out there in the community. And so what I really needed, and what I know so many other mamas have needed in this same position, is just an easy to understand resource that they can send to a partner or a friend or a family member or whoever it is that has all these questions about physiologic birth, to just have something that they can send to them and be like, this is why I want this. And so my hope is that today's podcast episode can be that. So by the end of the podcast episode, you're going to know the what, why, and how of physiologic birth. And I hope you'll also share some of my passion for this beautiful, life-changing rite of passage. Now, before we jump into today's episode, there was something that I fully intended to talk about in last week's introductory episode to the podcast, and I got a bit overexcited and I forgot to mention it. So I want to talk a little bit about it now, and that is the beautiful music that forms the intro to the podcast. So when the idea of this podcast first came to me, I knew in that exact moment exactly what music I wanted to be the intro, and it was this song. It's called Bloom by Dea Dover, and I'm so grateful to Dea and her partner Hamilton for granting me permission to use this beautiful song as the introduction to the podcast. I can't imagine any other song setting the scene to lead into the podcast, and the subject of the podcast is just so perfect. And if you haven't connected with Dea Dover's beautiful music yet, please go and check it out. And this song in particular I love because I use it at least weekly, probably more. I put the song on anytime, you know, when you get like a yucky feeling in your body, like maybe you feel a bit anxious, a bit worried about something. This is the song that I'll put on and I'll just dance. And it just seems to be whatever I need it to be in the moment. So if you are ever feeling that yucky feeling and you're just like, I just need to move this out of my body, go and put on Bloom by Dea Dover and just move your body. And so that's a little tiny backstory to why it was so important for me and why I wanted it to be part of this podcast. And I'm so grateful to Dea and Hamilton for granting me permission to include it. Okay, let's jump in to the subject of today's podcast, physiologic birth. Now, before we go any further, I know that the term natural birth is the term that most women tend to use when they are referring to what I'm talking about here. There's a few reasons why I prefer not to use the term natural birth, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I'm going to be using the word physiologic birth to describe a birth that's driven solely by the natural biological processes of the mother's and baby's bodies working together. So birth without any pharmaceutical or surgical interventions. That's what I mean by physiologic birth. And fair warning before we get started, I get very excited about this subject. I love physiologic birth, first because it changes women's lives, and I've experienced this myself, and I've witnessed it in so many other women who've had physiologic births. Once a woman has experienced the power of undisturbed birth, she is unstoppable. And I want that for every woman. And the other reason I love physiologic birth is because it's just stunningly beautiful. The symbiosis between mother and baby's bodies working together in a physiologic birth is just awe-inspiring. And by the way, mama, if you listen to today's episode and you feel like you'd like to have a physiologic birth, you might be interested in my free download. It's called The 4 Things You Actually Need to Know to Have a Physiologic Birth. And you can find the link to that in the show notes, or you can just jump straight online and you'll find it at jessicahodgins.com/guide-to-birth. Okay, without me talking anymore, let's jump straight into it. So what is physiologic birth? A physiologic birth is one that's driven solely by the natural biological processes of the mother's and baby's body. So in other words, it's a birth that doesn't involve any kind of pharmaceutical or surgical intervention. Now, I mentioned just now that I prefer to use the term physiologic birth over other terms like natural birth. And the reason for that is because natural birth can mean different things to different people. For example, some women might consider any vaginal birth as a natural birth, whether or not it involves drugs or assisted delivery with forceps or vacuum, for example. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having our own definitions of what is natural. And that's fine. It's just not what I'm talking about here. So what I'm talking about when I say physiologic birth is something very specific. And I like the phrase physiologic birth because it has a clear definition that comes to us from midwifery research. So its meaning is unambiguous and it doesn't carry any moral judgment. So there are 6 aspects to the definition of a physiologic birth. Now, different people have slightly different definitions of what they mean by a physiologic birth, but these are the 6 things that I consider to be part of a physiologic birth. So first, labor begins spontaneously. So that means that labor isn't induced or augmented by drugs. Mama just goes into labor at the time that her body and her baby choose. The second point is the conditions surrounding the birthing mother promote effective labor. So the conditions surrounding the birthing woman. And we're going to talk about those conditions a little bit more in a moment. The third aspect of a physiologic birth is that both the baby and the placenta are born vaginally. The fourth thing is the birth of the placenta happens naturally without any medication. The fifth point is the mother and the newborn are kept together. So immediately after birth, the newborn is put on mama's chest and given skin-to-skin contact. And then the last final point is that breastfeeding is initiated early after the birth of the baby. So this is what we're talking about when we say a physiologic birth. And all of those points are important for reasons that we're going to discuss in a moment. Now, in my experience as a childbirth and parenting educator, most of the mamas I work with, so not all, but the vast majority of women that I work with want to birth their babies physiologically without drugs and interventions. A lot of women don't use the word physiologic birth. They might say natural birth, but this is the kind of birth that most women I work with want to have. And research supports this preference. So midwifery experts agree that this type of birth is more likely to be safe and healthy for mothers and babies because it doesn't involve any unnecessary intervention that would disrupt their normal bodily processes. And what's really worth considering is that the vast majority of women are capable of having a physiologic birth. So research from around the world tells us that about 85% of women are capable of giving birth without interventions. Some people, myself included, believe that this number is actually much higher. So for example, at one community in the United States known as The Farm, and if you've heard of the legendary American midwife Ina Mae Gaskin, you've heard of The Farm because she was one of the pioneers of The Farm. And at this community, women give birth at home with the support of midwives, and 98.6% of women at The Farm have vaginal births without any interventions. So in particular circumstances, 98.6% of women are able to birth vaginally without any intervention. But despite all that, despite the preference of many women for a physiologic birth, despite the fact that midwifery experts agree that this is more likely to be the safest type of birth for mother and baby, and despite the fact that the vast majority of women are capable of birthing physiologically, unfortunately, physiologic birth is actually a really rare event in developed countries today. So it's actually really hard to find data on exactly what percentage of women birth physiologically. So there's a little bit of guesswork involved here. But here's what we do know. We know that in Australia in 2018, for example, less than a quarter of women birthed their babies without the use of pharmaceuticals to induce or augment their labour. So that's just one type of intervention that we can talk about. And we know that less than a quarter of women birthed without that intervention. Now, within that small group of, say, 20 to 25% of women who birthed without having their labour induced or augmented, the percentage of women who birth their babies without any further interventions is likely to be very low. It's likely to be low because we know that that intervention of inducing or augmenting labour increases the likelihood of a woman needing pain relief, needing instrumental delivery, or needing a cesarean section. So you can see that there's an element of guesswork here, but the percentage of women who birth without any intervention is likely to be very, very low. So why is this? To understand why so many women don't end up birthing physiologically, despite their preference to do so, we need to understand exactly how physiologic birth works and what conditions women need to be able to birth physiologically. So that means a quick tour of our human evolution. So buckle up, fellow nerds. Yeah, I hope you're a fellow nerd like me. So in our modern world of gadgets and comfortable houses, it's actually really easy to forget that we are actually animals. To be exact, humans are large mammals. And when it comes to birth, it's really helpful to remember that our bodies have been evolving over hundreds of millions of years to become very, very good at reproducing. Whenever I talk about physiologic birth, you can be pretty sure that most of what I'm talking about comes from Dr. Sarah Buckley's work. And she says, giving birth is an innately instinctive act, hardwired into our brains and bodies through millions of years of mammalian evolution, and designed to ensure the best possible outcomes for mothers and babies. That's Dr. Sarah Buckley. Now, this statement that birth is actually designed to give mothers and babies the best and safest possible experience isn't just wishful thinking, because nothing less than the survival of our species depends on the safe and efficient birthing of the next generations. So our ancestors evolved over hundreds of millions of years to reproduce as safely and efficiently as possible. And this physiologic reality is our mammalian blueprint for birth. I like to think of it as like Mother Nature's grand design. It's a kind of map that gives us all the information we need to be able to birth our babies safely. Okay, so what is Mother Nature's map for safe and efficient birthing? Well, like all animals, our bodies need certain things to be able to function effectively. So think about breathing. To breathe, we need access to clean air. To fuel our bodies, we need access to nutritious food and clean water. And to birth our babies, we need to feel private, safe, and lovingly supported. And those three things, private, safe, and lovingly supported, we're going to come back to over and over again because that's really, really key. So just like all mammals, if human women feel private, safe, and lovingly supported, we will produce exactly the right symphony of hormones at exactly the right moment to birth our babies as safely and efficiently as possible. So Dr. Sarah Buckley explains this, that Mother Nature prescribes a very specific, what she calls a cocktail of hormones to aid birthing mamas of all mammalian species. So this isn't just human women, this is the female of all mammalian species. So the all important hormones of birth, and these are oxytocin, that's the hormone of love, beta endorphin, that's the hormone of pleasure and transcendence, the catecholamines, so that's epinephrine and norepinephrine, so adrenaline and noradrenaline. Those are the hormones of excitement. And then prolactin, and that's the hormone of tender mothering. And you might also think of it as the hormone that induces breast milk production. And these hormones work together in myriad complex ways. So, and this is why I love the word symphony. I picture like a symphony of music with all different instruments working together in complex ways to create this beautiful piece of music. And they work together to ensure that both mother and baby have the smoothest possible transition from gestation to lactation in mother's case, or from womb to world in the case of the baby. Okay, so if our incredible bodies are so good at producing this perfect cocktail of hormones to help us safely birth our babies, why are so many women's births characterized by pharmaceutical or surgical interventions? So here we come to a very important point, and this is a really important point to understand. While our bodies produce exactly the right hormones to efficiently birth our babies in the right conditions, so when we feel private, safe, and lovingly supported, our clever bodies are also very good at shutting down labor in conditions where we feel watched, unsafe, and disrespected. And further to that, when we add synthetic drugs to this finely choreographed symphony of hormones that a woman's laboring body produces, we really easily throw off the hormonal conditions that are needed for her to birth her baby physiologically. Now, this isn't a fault of women's bodies. On the contrary, it's another part of our brilliant evolutionary design. Why would any animal give birth? That's a highly vulnerable state in an environment that feels unsafe. And so if you're a mama, and I know so many mamas who've been in this position, they've gone into labor and then they're laboring beautifully at home, and then they go into hospital and their labor stalls and they end up requiring interventions to augment their labor, and they end up feeling this sense of failure, like their bodies let them down. Your body didn't let you down, mama. Your body did exactly what it was meant to do. Your body is so wise and it was functioning perfectly, because it moved from an environment where it felt safe into an environment where it felt unsafe. And even though intellectually, like, we can go into a hospital and say, you know, I feel safe here because I've got all this medical support around me, your body doesn't intellectualize. Your body walks into an environment that looks different, smells different, it's full of strangers, there's bright lights, and it's like, I don't feel safe here. So if you are one of the many mamas who I know who are holding on to this sense of guilt or failure that your body let you down in birth because you ended up needing intervention, your body didn't let you down. Your body was perfect and it was doing exactly what it was meant to do. And I hope that this information can bring a sense of kind of relief and of forgiveness to your body. It's perfect. And this is why such a high proportion of births in our modern times end up requiring high levels of interventions. Because when we interrupt that delicate balance of birthing hormones by making a woman feel unsafe, we throw off the hormonal cascade that Mother Nature has prescribed, and we inadvertently make birth less safe. We create a need to intervene, which otherwise may not have been there. So to understand that further, let's think back to some of those other physiologic functions that I mentioned earlier that our bodies do every day. So take digestion as an example, okay? So most of the time, your body is very good at digesting food. It takes the nutrients it needs and it passes the rest as waste. But have you ever noticed that when you feel a bit stressed or a bit tired, that your digestion can be a little off? That doesn't mean that your body is a failure because it isn't digesting its food properly. It's a sign from your body that it isn't receiving the optimal conditions for digestion. My hope is that you would go, what's going on here? and that you would tweak those environmental conditions before you resorted to any kind of medication. And it's the same with birth. So let's talk a little bit about these optimal conditions that a woman needs to birth her baby. A really easy way to understand the conditions women need to birth is by comparing birth to sex. And that's actually not such a crazy stretch as you might think. Actually, the hormones that are necessary to birth a baby are basically exactly the same as the hormones that are necessary to have an orgasm. Birth and sex are very much related. So I mentioned the legendary American midwife Ina May Gaskin earlier, and Ina May is known to say, "The energy that gets the baby in is the energy that gets the baby out." And I love this way of thinking. So just take a moment. I actually want you to do this wherever you are. You're probably multitasking if you're like every other mother in the world. But just take a moment to think about the conditions you'd need to feel comfortable enough to have an orgasm. Would you want to be in a brightly lit room where strangers in white coats keep walking in and out and nurses continuously interrupt you and your partner to take measurements of certain bodily functions? And then you've also been given a time limit. If you don't orgasm in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to bring the doctor in. Or would you prefer to be somewhere familiar, like maybe your own home, maybe your own bedroom, where you feel safe and private, and where you know you have all the time in the world and you won't be interrupted? You can light a few candles if that's your thing. You can put on some music if you feel like it. You can move around freely. You can make as much noise as you like. Birth is just the same. For birth, as with sex, women need to feel private, safe, and lovingly supported. Okay, now that we've got a sense of what physiologic birth is and the conditions that women need to have a physiologic birth, you might be wondering, why on earth would you want to have a physiologic birth? So is physiologic birth really any better than medicated or surgical birth? And when I ask this question, I'm not asking in terms of a moral judgment. I'm not asking if physiologic birth is morally better than medicated or surgical birth. I'm asking it in terms of the holistic outcomes for mother and baby. Overall, is the well-being of mother and baby better in a physiologic birth compared to a birth that involves medication or surgery? Now, that answer is going to be different for every woman. But when I'm speaking in general, what I'm going to say is the short answer to that question is yes, absolutely it is. The long answer is absolutely, and I'd need a whole other podcast to do justice to why physiologic birth is the safest and healthiest way for most mothers and babies to birth. And that's something I'll definitely be diving into at some stage down the track, hopefully not too far down the track, so definitely stay tuned for that. But for now, I want to throw to the expert, Dr. Sarah Buckley, one last time. I'm going to quote Dr. Sarah once more, and she says, "Undisturbed birth, or physiologic birth, represents the smoothest hormonal orchestration of the birth process, and therefore the easiest transition possible physiologically, hormonally, psychologically, and emotionally from pregnancy and birth to new motherhood and lactation for each woman." And she goes on, "When a mother's hormonal orchestration is undisturbed, her baby's safety is also enhanced, not only during labor and delivery, but also in the critical postnatal transition from womb to world." So there are so many ways that I could illustrate this point, but I'm going to give you just one example to illustrate the beautiful, complex, miraculous ways that physiologic birth sets mothers and babies up for the best possible transition from womb to world. So let's talk about what happens in an undisturbed birth, a physiologic birth, during what's sometimes called the golden hour, the time immediately following the birth of the baby. And this is the kind of magical stuff that I get so excited about. It's just awe-inspiring. So first, right after baby's born, mama will pick up her baby and instinctively place their head closest to her left breast. This is a universal instinctive behavior in female humans. She will pick up the baby and place their head close to her left breast, right over the top of her beating heart, and on her rising and falling chest as she's breathing. And that helps the newborn to regulate their cardiovascular and respiratory system during this huge transition from womb to world. This is one of the biggest transitions that a human will ever make, to having to breathe on their own. And this instinctive behavior is to pick up the baby and put them to the left breast so that they're right on her heart and they can regulate their own heart rate based on hers, and they can regulate their breathing based on her breathing. Here's another thing that blew my mind when I first heard it. So mama's chest will automatically change temperature, either warming up or cooling down, to help baby regulate their temperature. Yes, really. Here's another cool thing. Mama's nipples smell the same as her amniotic fluid. So that's the fluid inside her womb. And because that smell is familiar, it attracts baby to begin to move towards the nipple. Now here's one of my favorite things, the breast crawl. If you haven't ever seen a breast crawl happen, just jump on YouTube, Google breast crawl, and it'll blow your mind. So in an undisturbed birth, if baby is placed on mama's chest, they're going to begin to crawl. A newborn baby will begin to crawl towards mama's nipple, and the movement of their legs on her stomach. You can imagine this newborn baby's legs and knees moving against mum's stomach, and that helps to massage her uterus, which stimulates contractions. And those contractions help the uterus to return to its pre-pregnancy state, but they also reduce the risk of postpartum hemorrhage because the uterus needs to contract to close off any open capillaries that might be bleeding. So baby moving over mum reduces the risk of postpartum hemorrhage. Now baby's first breastfeed also stimulates oxytocin, which stimulates uterine contractions, and that further reduces the risk of postpartum hemorrhage for mum. So baby's first breastfeed actually helps to keep mum safe as well. Now, just skipping back a bit, the baby's final descent through the birth canal stimulated a massive dose of oxytocin. That's the hormone of love, remember, in both mama and baby. So this is like the biggest dose of oxytocin mama will ever receive in her life, happens just in those final moments of birth as baby's crowning. And that sets both mum and baby up with this feeling of euphoria and love, and it helps with early bonding. So let's return to our mammalian evolution here. This makes evolutionary sense because we want mother to fall in love with her baby in terms of evolution, because we want her to be bonded with her baby and to have that fierce protective instinct. That same descent through the birth canal also stimulated a spike in adrenaline in both mother and baby, and that makes baby more awake and aware in the hour immediately after birth than they will be again for weeks. So if you've ever seen a newborn baby in the early weeks, you know they're pretty sleepy, they're pretty out of it. But in those first few hours after birth, they're very alert. And that's because of that spike in adrenaline. And that heightened awareness gives the baby the opportunity to closely study mama's face. And they'll do that. You can watch them. She'll hold them and they'll just stare at each other, and baby's scanning mama's face. And it's not an accident that newborns can only see about as far as the distance between mama's nipple and her face when they're held to her breast. They're scanning her features for the very first time so that they'll be able to recognize her. Can you think of a more beautiful, perfect, symbiotic design? You couldn't create that if you tried. All of these processes, by the way, are disrupted in a birth that involves interventions and in which baby isn't immediately placed on mama's chest for skin-to-skin contact. Ugh, I just think the whole thing, you can probably tell in my voice, it's just so beautiful. And if it sounds beautiful, it's even more beautiful to experience. My hope is that you now have just even a tiny fraction of my excitement about physiologic birth. And if that's the case, you might be wondering, how can you maximize your chances of experiencing a physiologic birth? Well, now that you have an understanding of what physiologic birth is and the conditions that women need to experience it, it's probably already becoming clear to you why so many women in developed countries today don't experience physiologic birth. And that's because the overwhelming majority of women in developed countries give birth in hospitals. And the simple truth is that hospitals are not optimal environments to make women feel private, safe, and lovingly supported. Now, some pregnancies involve a higher level of risk for whatever reason to mother and baby, and higher risk pregnancies may be safest in a hospital where there is medical support available. So I'm not painting hospitals as evil places. They absolutely serve a purpose. But most pregnancies are not high risk. Most pregnancies are low risk and a normal and healthy part of a mother's physiologic functioning. And in those pregnancies, in other words, the majority of pregnancies, the place of birth has a really big impact on the outcome for mother and baby. So where are women more likely to feel private, safe, and lovingly supported? Well, you've probably guessed it. The ideal environment for most women to birth safely is at home. And research consistently confirms that women are much more likely to experience a safe physiologic birth if they choose to birth at home with the support of a private midwife. Now, you might have seen research that actually seems to say the opposite. And so it's really important when we look at research about home birth that we're looking at research that specifically looks at low-risk pregnancies with a planned home birth, because a lot of the research doesn't distinguish between low and high-risk pregnancies and planned and unplanned home birth. So we know that high-risk pregnancies are less safe in an environment outside of the hospital because high-risk pregnancies require a higher level of medical care. But the majority of pregnancies aren't high risk. The majority of pregnancies are low risk. And so in research that separates those two and only looks at low risk pregnancies, it becomes very clear and that the research findings are very consistent that the outcomes for mothers and babies who birth at home with low risk pregnancies are the same or better than the outcomes for women who birth in hospitals. So recent research in Australia, for example, found that women who birthed at home were 6 times more likely to experience a drug and intervention-free vaginal birth than women who birthed in hospital. And not only were the home birthing women in that cohort much more likely to experience a physiologic birth, but there were no differences in the health outcomes for mother and baby between the two groups. So there were no adverse differences between the two, but the women who chose to birth at home were much more likely to experience a physiologic birth, which meant that they also got all of the benefits that go with a physiologic birth, as well as avoiding the risk of unnecessary interventions. Now, for most of us who've grown up to fear birth, and there's a lot of fear about birth in our communities, this can be a really challenging concept to take on. Because when we think of birth, we think of hospitals. And for high-risk pregnancies, as I said, hospital can indeed sometimes be the better option, but most pregnancies aren't high-risk. And the research consistently confirms that for women with low-risk pregnancies, home is the safest place to give birth. So let's return to that question that we asked right at the beginning of the podcast. What do you need to know to give yourself and your baby the best possible chance of birthing safely without unnecessary interventions? Well, there are a few ways to answer that question. The first way I would answer that question is you don't actually need to know anything to birth your baby. Your body already knows how to birth a baby, and actually one of your biggest jobs when you go into labor is going to be to get your clever thinking brain out of the way and allow your body to do what it already knows how to do. Now, if we lived in communities that trusted birth and trusted women's bodies, you really wouldn't need to know anything at all. You could just go into labor and birth your baby and most likely have a safe physiologic birth without any issues. But unfortunately, the communities that we live in don't trust birth and don't trust women's bodies. And that's why there are actually a few things that you do need to know to give yourself the best possible chance of having a physiologic birth. And that is exactly why I've written my free guide, The 4 Things That You Actually Need to Know to Prepare for a Physiologic Birth. Now, you've already listened to this podcast episode, so you actually already know 2 of the 4 things that I cover in that download. So the first thing that you need to know is you need to understand what physiologic birth is and the conditions that women need to birth physiologically. So that's private, safe, and lovingly supported. And you already know that. The second thing that you need to know is that you are much more likely to experience these conditions, and you're therefore much more likely to experience a safe physiologic birth if you choose to birth at home with the support of a private midwife. Now, there are a couple of other things that I cover in that guide. I'm not going to go into them now because this has already been a super information-dense podcast episode, I know. But if you are interested in having a physiologic birth, you can jump over and download that guide now. The link is in the show notes, or you can find it at jessicahodgins.com/guide-to-birth. So that's jessicahodgins.com/guide to birth. Now, I made this guide because I see so much irrelevant or incorrect information out there about how to have a safe and empowering physiologic birth. Because here's the thing. You don't need to do perineal massage. You don't need to eat a truckload of dates. You don't need to drink gallons of red raspberry leaf tea. You don't even need to do lots of prenatal yoga or breathing exercises or positive visualizations. Like, all of those things can be nice or actually really uncomfortable in the case of perineal massage. But if you don't have the really important things in place, those things actually have very little, if any, impact on your likelihood of having a physiologic birth. There are, however, a few very real and very tangible things that do make every difference to your likelihood of having a safe and empowering physiologic birth. And those things relate to the decisions that you make during your pregnancy. And I break all of that down in detail in the guide. It's like 20 odd pages, jam-packed. There's like zero fluff. It's just all of the evidence-based information and the practical strategies that you actually need. So if that sounds like it might be a helpful resource for you, Mama, it's called 4 Things You Actually Need to Know to Prepare for a Physiologic Birth. So you can find the link in the show notes, or you'll find it at jessicahodgins.com/guide to birth. So I hope that guide is of use to you, mamas. I hope this podcast episode has helped to clarify what physiologic birth is and the kinds of conditions that women need to birth physiologically. If you are one of those many mamas who are holding on to a sense of guilt or of failure for the fact that you weren't able to have a physiologic birth in a hospital setting, I hope this information has helped to clarify why your body did what it did, and to help you to understand that your body didn't fail, your body didn't let you down. Your body actually did exactly what it was meant to do, and that you can trust your body. And if you're planning a physiologic birth, I hope this has helped to get you excited about your birth, because it is exciting. It's beautiful. Physiologic birth is one of the most beautiful things that you can go through. Okay, I'm going to leave it at that for today, mamas. Now, if you're interested in following up any of the statistics or the research or the resources that I mentioned in today's episode, the best way to do that is to go to the show notes, and you'll see a link there that's going to take you to a blog post that accompanies this podcast. Now, that's basically just a written version of this podcast episode, but if you are interested in following up any of the references or the citations from this podcast, that's exactly where you can do that. You'll find them all in footnotes. Now, if you found today's episode helpful, mamas, and if you know other mamas who you think would benefit from understanding physiologic birth and understanding the conditions that women need to birth physiologically, please do share it on social media, and don't forget to tag me. I'm Dr. Jessica Hodgins on Instagram. I'm going to leave it at that for today, mamas. I hope you're having a wonderful day wherever you are. Until next time. Thanks for listening to the Wild Mother Podcast. I'm living and mothering on the unceded country of Dharawal people, and I gratefully acknowledge their ongoing work and the work of Indigenous people everywhere in the service of thriving life on Earth. Stay wild, mamas.